Luke chapter 2 tonight, very familiar part of Scripture, read many times this time of year. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them." We live in a world where messaging and things happen, and 10 seconds later we hear it, we see it. I just got a CNN post on my phone before I came in tonight. More people voted for Hillary Clinton than any losing president ever. So that's in case you didn't have that information, you now have that information. I don't know what good it'll do us. I don't foresee any tests coming that I need to know that information, but here it is, I know it. Information is just like that, quick. Doesn't matter your education. All you have to have is a smartphone or a computer. Bam, you know what's going on in Aleppo as it happens. Syria as it happens. All of us should be up to speed on just about anything. You don't even need 2, 4, 6, and 8 on your broadcast channels. You just need a phone. Man, you can get the latest news. The most important event in history up until that point was the birth of Christ. He came as Savior of the world. But the angels came to a bunch of shepherds in a field. Didn't go to a king, didn't go to a prince, didn't go to the leaders of the world, didn't go to the Jewish, didn't show up in the Holy of Holies. That would have been a nice place to make the announcement. Zacharias, by the way, John the Baptist, now the king is going to be born, call everybody and get everybody here to the temple. We want to make a general announcement. The king is going to be born in 6 months or 9 months. And you wonder, in the wisdom of all this planning that happened before time began, this was planned to come and tell a few shepherds in a field about the good news. And they went and told their people that they influenced, which I'm sure didn't include kings and priests and such. The common folk of the time. Let's overlook the fact that the channels for fast delivery of such great news were ignored. We'll not mention the fact that the audience was influential and more unreliable in their ability to network. They just told a few people. We won't talk about the fact that the educated were forgotten, the rich were shunned, and the royals were passed over. The announcement was made to shepherds. The time would come when the whole world would know about Christ. But the announcement was made to a few people, and you have to stop and ponder why, God. Why that particular audience? But I believe there was a greater purpose. Although redemption was declared for God's creation, the message contained covenantal declarations that fulfilled the prophetic to a few people. Now, I often think about, I don't know if you think about, I often think about the next 30 years and how that influenced people and how it influenced culture and how that people that heard, shepherds that heard and their friends that heard. Hey, remember when, Frank over there was in the field, and he said an angel appeared to him and Jesus was going to be born. How long ago was that? That was 10 years ago. I wonder what happened with all that. Babies were killed. I wonder if this Jesus was killed. And the influence that it happened in classrooms and in scriptures, and it filtered over into the Sanhedrin and how they talked about it and what happened all during that time. It was an important time. Why didn't God announce it to everybody? Because he didn't. He just didn't. He could have. He didn't. One of the many books that Charles Swindoll wrote, I quote, take the year 1809. The international scene was tumultuous. Napoleon was sweeping through Austria. Blood was flowing freely. Nobody then cared about babies. But the world was overlooking some terribly significant births. 1809. William Gladstone was born that year. He was destined to become one of England's finest statesmen. That same year, Alfred Lord Tennyson was born to an obscure minister and his wife. The child would one day greatly affect the literary world in a marked manner. On the American continent, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And not far away in Boston, Edgar Allan Poe began his eventful, albeit tragic, life. It was also in that same year that a physician named Darwin and his wife named their child Charles Robert. And that same year produced the cries of a newborn infant in a rugged log cabin in Hardin County, Kentucky. The baby's name? Abraham Lincoln. If there had been news broadcast at that time, I'm certain these words would have been heard. The destiny of the world is being shaped on an Austrian battlefield today. That history was actually being shaped in the cradles of England and America. Similarly, everyone thought taxation was the big news. When Jesus was born, that was the big news. Everybody had to go to their place of birth and had to report and had to take the census. But a young Jewish woman cradled the biggest news of all, the birth of the Savior. What a wonderful time that was had by just a handful of people. And it would be 30 years and 33 years and centuries later that we would have the effect of that poor, humble place that Christ was born. And we often wonder, certainly I don't know what the population of the globe was at that time. It certainly wasn't where it is now, about 8 billion people. But we have to trust that God is guiding and leading this history that we're living right now. Of all the things that we build the walls and we say there's impossibilities, do we forget that we serve the God of the impossible, the God that spoke to the shepherds in the field? Do you think he has it under control? Yeah. Is it Microsoft and Steve Jobs that we should thank about all the information that is instantaneous, or should we thank the Lord knowing beforehand that little thing that happened in the field is going to be broadcast where every eye will see and every ear will hear? Every knee will bow to him. Yeah. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to see, you know, the liberals and the things and the deals and the gays and we're thinking about all that. God is in control. The wisdom that he had to speak to a few shepherds. If there were a caste system then, and there were, shepherds were looked down upon. Shepherds were the people you didn't really talk about. They were like the garbage truck guys, almost. You didn't need any education. You didn't need any position in society. You just were a shepherd. Just supply us a sheep. We'll go to the temple and sacrifice it, or we'll eat it. We'll use the wool. But God, in his wisdom, spoke to simple folk about the event that changed the world. It changed the world so much. History is split right there. There's before Christ and there's after Christ. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, I talked to my grandson up in New York and he said, you know what? BCE or BC, they added an E to it. It's before common era and after common era. Now it's no longer before Christ and after Christ. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're teaching in the public schools now. Can you imagine? After common era and before common era. But when Christ invaded the earth, he invaded it in the glory of God. These few people, by the way, there hadn't been anything for a few hundred years. Nobody had heard from God. There was no mountain shaking. There was no lightnings and thunderings. And up until Zacharias, nobody had seen an angel. And all of a sudden, these shepherds look in verse 9. It says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Just like with Moses at the burning bush. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. I'm telling you this, it will be to all people. So let's break it down a little bit. The glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of God. When the manifest glory of God comes, all else is gone. It's not just turning a light switch on. The light illuminates. It's the glory of the Lord shown round about them. Can you imagine? That's what happened to you and I when Jesus came into our heart, isn't it? We saw the glory of God. Anybody have a glory experience with Jesus? If you haven't, you should ask Him for it. Because when He comes, when He speaks, when He's announced, the glory of God comes. It happened at the burning bush. It happened at Mount Sinai. Tabernacle meeting, Solomon's temple. When the temple was finished, the glory of God came in the temple. The priests fell down. They couldn't minister because of the glory of God. That same glory appeared on that night. It says the glory of the Lord. Not just anything, not just angels. The angels didn't bring the glory. It was the glory of God. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. This was not the pre-incarnate Christ. It wasn't about the angels. This was the manifest glory of God fulfilling every prophetic word up until that point. For unto you this day in Bethlehem is born Christ the Lord. And it shone around them. Isaiah 60 and verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you and His glory will be seen upon you. And that's the day we're waiting for. That same glory that was in that field, I believe God wants to manifest in our generation. Because when that comes, all political, all religious, all those things are gone. When Christ shows up, He's the center of attention. And I believe on that night, the glory of God shone. And that was the center of attention. There was nobody looking somewhere else or thinking about anything else. This announcement changed forever those that received it. And I wonder sometimes, are you and I completely changed from the announcement we heard? We're serving Christ, going against the grain. It's not a popular thing, but we're waiting for that same glory to come. Again. And when it does come, there's fear. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The God that we serve was no less wise when He decided to show up in a field full of sheep dung and shepherds to make an announcement. Heaven came down that night. You know, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, He would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, He would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So He sent us a Savior. The message that was delivered that fateful night to those shepherds, I submit to you, changed everything forever. From that point up until this very second, the story has been redemption. That's the message we need to declare in our generation. Redemption. Christ came to die for your sin. He came to forgive you. An act of love unprecedented and has far-reaching effects on this generation. God went from a posture of strict allegiance to his commandments to the fulfillment of them through the man Jesus Christ. Up until that point, people tried to fulfill the commandments of God. The Jews were so perplexed, they added 800 laws to the Ten Commandments. 800 plus. Can you imagine? Hey, welcome to the temple today. Here's a list. If it's a little heavy, one of the ushers will carry it out to your cart for you. Here's all the laws that you have to obey to be part of our... There's 800 and some. Take your time. If you have any questions, don't ask. Can you imagine trying to fulfill all the laws? That was widely known. I mean, if you were a Jew, you had to live... No wonder they had so many sacrifices. And you walk down the street and you look at a woman, you had to go sacrifice a lamb. Couldn't even look at a woman. Unto you a child is born. Unto you. Remember when I found out Terry was with child? That was the biggest nuisance you ever wanted to meet. I told everybody. Didn't matter who you were. Hey, my wife's going to have a baby. Told the guy pumping gas. Back then they pumped the gas for you. Hey, thank you for pumping my gas. I'm going to be a father in 8 months. 7 months. 6 months. But it was to us. Most people didn't care. It was to us. You're having a baby? Okay, that's nice. Let's move on. Pay me for the service or get out of my face. But the announcement that this angel made said, unto you a child is born. That made it very personal. A baby's being born in Bethlehem to Joseph and Mary, but it's unto you he's being born. Timeless in its content, this message, this instant message heard throughout all eternity, because it really didn't matter. It really didn't matter the human beings that heard. It mattered because they spread things. But I'll tell you who heard the announcement. It was Satan himself. He heard this announcement. Unto you a child is born. The Savior of the world. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What a way to make it. Birth announcements, name the mother, father, weight, length, sex, and time of birth. None of that happened. You have to wait till the Jerusalem Times come out to find all that. This birth was personal to everyone born thereafter. Matter of fact, it was such an important birth, it affected the ones that were born before. Everyone that ever lived, the righteous, dead, were waiting for the Savior in Abraham's bosom. Everyone has a Savior. His power reaches even to 2016 and far beyond that. It reaches forward and it reaches backward to the lowest depths and the highest heights. Jesus Christ being born on this earth was the one true solution to all the sin. Oh, and breaking down this verse, continuing, born to you a Savior. For those taking notes, it's soter, S-O-O-T-E-E-R, to make safe, to deliver, preserve, to make alive. Used by the Septuagint, it means to cause to escape, to confide in, or to hope. The root of it is palate, P-A-A-L-A-T, to confide in, to hope. The word properly denotes such a Savior as perfectly freeing us from all evil and danger and is the author of perpetual salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost. This announcement was made. Unto you this day is born a Savior, Christ, Christos, the Anointed. Means to anoint. This name points out the Savior of the world in his prophetic regal office. As in ancient times, prophets, kings, and priests were anointed with oil when installed into their respected offices. He was the anointed one, is the anointed one. Consecrated as the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Kyrios, the Lord, the supreme, eternal being, the ruler of the heavens and of the earth. The Septuagint generally translated as Yahweh, Kyrios. The Hebrew word properly points out the eternity and self-existence of the supreme being. I am. I exist. God with us, Isaiah 9 says. It's certain that the lordship of Christ must be considered in a mere spiritual sense, as he never set up any secular government upon the earth. This announcement was misunderstood by the Jew because they wanted a government set up. It was not established on the earth. It was established in the heavens. There's no spiritual government but that which belongs to God. And indeed, the word Lord in the text appears to be properly understood when applied to the deity of Christ. Can you imagine these shepherds going and seeing a baby in a manger and worshiping? What they must have felt, what they must have seen, what wisdom that must have been imparted to them to go ahead and do what would be unseemly to do, to fall down before a baby and worship. But that impact carried them throughout their lifetime. One touch from Jesus, my friend, carries us through our life. Amen? One touch changed us forever. I'm glad he keeps touching. Jesus is a prophet to reveal the will of God and instruct men in it. He's a priest to offer up sacrifice and make atonement for the sin of the world. Jesus is Lord to rule over the souls of the children of men. He is a Savior to deliver from power, guilt, pollution of sin, sickness, to enlarge and to preserve in the possession of the salvation which he has communicated. Jesus, this Jesus that was born, all of that said to a few uneducated, maybe, shepherds. I bet the phone lines were burning up when they got home. That excitement needs to come back to us. That excitement. Unto us, a child is born. No longer a child, but the Lord. But he was born for the sins of this world. And he died for the sins of this world. And he rose, triumphing over all the sins of the world. Not a sin that's committed that can't be put under the blood. Come on, someone. His lordship is widely known. And I say, just me, this is just me talking. But I say, it's time to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. Forget all the other stuff. Yes, we should get involved in politics and all of that. But the major message should be, Jesus Christ is Lord. And he loves you. And he died for you. If we can get that message across, and people will listen to it. We get so complicated. We crowd all this other stuff in it. And the angel, how many know the angel had the stage? How many know when the glory of God shone and the angel started to speak, I don't think anybody would have interrupted the angel. The angel could have said the whole salvation plan. Come on, someone. He said, now he's going to be born, and 30 years from now he's going to come and he's going to turn water into wine in Cana. You watch, as soon as you'll know that's him. And then he's going to go and he's going to do this and he'll be tempted and he'll do that and he'll clear the temple and he'll... I mean, the angels there, he could have given the whole thing. For unto you this day is in the city of David is born to you Christ the Lord. And then all the other angels interrupted and said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And they kept repeating in that and then they're gone. That was it. I mean, that's it for the announcement of the king? More input, Stephanie. Some of you will get that. There wasn't a whole lot of information on that night. But man, the information that we have now. Jesus went on that information and dictated it in 30 years of his life until he came forward. He just lived under the auspices of his mother and father. One time showed up in the temple. But that word carried for 30 years. Look at the information we have at our fingertips right now. Just like we have information from CNN. There's not a person that has a phone doesn't have a Bible on your phone. We have no excuses. Well, I left my Bible at home. So get it up on your phone. Share it with somebody. The Holy Spirit will give you remembrance. Yes, Danny.
Something's turning in my spirit that I read on that information stuff before I came. That when we preach, we ought to preach to the spirit and not to the flesh. Those guys saw and they heard, but it touched their spirit. And we need to let that story touch our spirit. We see and hear it with our gates of our eyes and ears, but it needs to touch our spirit and not just this flesh. Because this flesh will forget it and won't do anything about it. But if, when we hear something, the good news like that, if it touches our spirit, then we'll be able to let it flow as we go. So don't, you were talking information. Don't just get information. Get what God was saying. I sent you my son. He came to set you free. And get that in our spirit, and we will rejoice, and we won't forget. This brain will forget, but our spirit won't.
Mm-hmm.
So when we hear a message, take it in our spirit, and not just for information. Most of the preaching today is to give information. We don't need any more information.
No. You're right. We need to think about what's behind all that information. I spent a lot of time doing that. I spent a lot of time trying to put myself in that place of the shepherds. What would I have done with that information? Things would never be the same again for me, I can tell you that. Wouldn't it be for you? I mean, see an angel in the field, that's going to change your life. And see a bunch of angels behind that. Man, the first thing you talk about everywhere you go. Amen. 5 years ago, I was in a field. You should have seen it. The glory of God shone around the angel and the thing and the deal. And we went and there was a manger and there was a cow and I was worshiping. And man, uneducated or educated, whatever you got, you're telling everybody. You would be a pain in the neck at the 4th of July. I mean, who wants to eat a hot dog? Let me tell you what I saw. It's that kind of raw excitement that needs to come back to the body of Christ. It's 2,000 years removed, 2,000 plus years removed from that moment when that announcement was made. But it's no less effective.
And take that information and apply it to me, not somebody else. What's it mean to me, not my neighbor that's bothering me or whatever. But I'm the one that needs to get that information and repent and examine myself, as it tells us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the last chapter. Examine myself. Use that information in my spirit to touch me and to clean me up. God is wanting to clean us up right now. We can't go to another plateau until we totally surrender and say, here I am, all of me. Them guys surrendered and they quit their work, as it was, and went into town just because God had touched their spirit. And they applied it to them. They needed to see the Savior.
But unless God appoints angels again to show up in fields where shepherds are, we are the ones to make the announcements. And the glory of God resides in us, not in a field. The glory of God. When we start sharing about Jesus, He comes. His glory shines. May not be seen the way that was seen in that field. And then again, it may be. When I received Christ as my Savior, the glory of God shone in the little bedroom I was in. Changed my life forever. I couldn't physically see a light, but I knew the glory of God was there. That's where we need to transport from what's in us again. Just get excited again. Because when something big happens, you can't shut anybody up. Too many crickets. You know, the Chicago Bears win, and you'd think the whole world was, you know.
It would be.
Yeah. Would be. And we get excited about the silliest stuff and we talk about it. You know, the new iPhone 7 is out. Jesus is Lord, man. He died for your sins. Let me tell you about the good news of Jesus. Let me tell you what I saw in my bedroom 35 years ago. Jesus appeared to me and here I am. I want to talk. Man, if we got that excited, people would sit up and take notice. I guess that's all I set out to say. He started in obscurity. But he certainly isn't obscure anymore.
Amen.
And you talk about instant messaging. Whew, man. God speaking from his throne in the general thing that he's speaking to this generation is saying, wake up. Get back to the basics of what I came to do. I started the whole change with a bunch of shepherds. And I ended up with 12 teenagers, young people. And I sent them out two by two. And one of them didn't even make it. That was my wisdom. Where's your wisdom? Where's the wisdom I've imparted to you? Because we don't have to go on hearsay and something that happened 30 years ago in a field. Jesus is alive in us today. And he uses our mouths and our hands and our eyes to glorify him. Talk about the glory of the Lord. May not be physical, but is sure in us. And if we set our hearts to that, we'll see a nation change. I believe that's the general I believe the instant messaging from the throne is that. Unto you today, Christ is alive.
Amen.
We're not going back to the manger. We're not going back to the cross. All of that happened. Thank God it happened. He's on the throne.
Amen.
And when he comes, we need to make the announcement. When he comes, every knee will bow. You can either bow now or you'll bow then. But your knee will bow and your tongue will confess. Better to do it on this side. You got to do it on the other side. It's going to hurt for an eternity. They'll know we are Christians by our love. I believe the greatest love we can give is to tell people about that great thing that happened in our hearts. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the excitement that I feel, the excitement that Danny shared, that I see in the eyes of those that I'm standing in front of tonight. Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. What you have been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years is stirring your children to action.
Hallelujah.
You're doing that tonight, God. You're stirring us. Lord, just as the shepherds made a way to get to where they needed to be and their lives changed, I believe some of those same shepherds were there in the feeding of the 5,000 and at the temple and maybe even in the upper room, God. Lord, involve us in your process, Lord. We just want to be used, God. You're just waiting for availability. God, so we make ourselves available, God, to increase the effectiveness of your kingdom through our little influential circles that we live in. To increase the effectiveness of your kingdom by just simply being obedient. You'll take care of the rest. What you're doing in our circle of influence, you're doing in others, God, that the world may know. That the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord, according to God the Father.
Amen.
Lord, that the world may know that your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That the world may know that they have a Savior. For unto them, Christ comes. Father, we thank you. Lord, I ask blessing on each and every one. God, as we gather together for the holidays, remember they're holy days. God, that we would remember the great gift, the inexpressible gift that's given to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.